This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Where space feels calm and distant, then there are weeks where it feels unsettled, unpredictable, and full of surprises. Well, this is one of those weeks. It's time for our regular space chat with Rebecca Davies. Rebecca, Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Now, when you see a headline about a planet drifting through space with no star at all, what's the first thing that makes you stop and pay attention?
Well, this one was particularly exciting, in fact, because this is the first time that we've actually been able to confirm that there is a free-floating planet in our own galaxy, which I think is very cool. Because we think that all planets should form around stars. You know, when stars form, they have this disk of debris that's kind of left over, and gradually all of the material in this disk kind of collides and forms into these planets. And typically the planets stay around their stars, and the light from those stars might be able to support life and produce things like the solar system as we know it. But sometimes planets are a little bit unfortunate, and something might happen that causes them to be flung very far away from where they were born. So this could be something like a supernova explosion, or maybe another star passes close by and kind of tugs them away from their host star. And when this happens, they might end up just sort of floating through the galaxy on their own. Now, we think that this might actually happen very often. Some estimates suggest there could be billions of these planets floating through our own galaxy. But the problem is that it's really difficult to find them, because most of the methods that we use to find normal planets outside our own solar system rely on us seeing how those planets impact their stars. So whether that is through the planets, you know, dimming the light from the star as they pass in front of it, or causing the stars to wiggle a little bit. And obviously, if the planet's just free floating, then those things don't really work. So how this planet was discovered was basically something called microlensing, which means that the planet happens to pass in front of just a background star. So the star doesn't have to be close to the planet, but it just kind of passes in front of this star from our line of sight and causes the light from that star to be ever so slightly distorted.
Ah, so we see the change.
Yeah, we see the change in this light. And actually, we've seen this type of thing many times before, so that's not new. But the problem is, when you see that kind of signature, you can't actually know the mass of the object that's causing the distortion. So you don't know how big it is. Yeah, you don't know how big it is, and you don't really know whether or not it's a planet. It could be something like a brown dwarf, which is like a failed star. So the main thing that you need is to be able to measure the mass, and that's what this new study did for the first time. And the way that they were able to do it was that they observed the same microlensing event with two different telescopes. And so one of the telescopes was on Earth, and the other one was the Gaia satellite, which is 1.5 million kilometers away from Earth. And that difference is enough that the telescopes see this at different angles. And so basically they see the event happening at different times. And so using that small time delay, they can calculate the distance to the object. And then based on how much the light changed, they can infer the mass. And so using that information, they figured out that it's about the mass of Saturn, or slightly smaller, and about 10,000 light years from Earth, which is super cool.
Rebecca, if I was an alien and I wanted to float through space, I'd disguise my ship as a planet. Could that be ruled out? It can be, can't it? It's a stupid hypothesis.
I mean, if you want to build a planet the size of Saturn, all the power to you.
Oh my goodness, they're coming. They're all coming. Another story that's caught attention this week involves a possible double explosion in space. Now, when astronomers start using words like maybe and possibly, what's actually happening behind the scenes there? Describe it to us.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the things that happen in space are really, really mysterious, and especially when we observe something new that we've never seen before. We start coming up with all kinds of theories to explain it, and that maybe is, you know, what happens when astronomers are theorizing about what might happen, but we don't quite have all of the evidence we need. So in this particular case, what they think they saw is something that's been labeled a super killernova. So this is a combination.
I hope that's not the alien.
Yeah, hopefully not. It's a combination of a supernova and a killernova. So a supernova, you know, people have probably heard of before. This is what happens when a massive star runs out of fuel. So the nuclear fusion in the core is what keeps stars alive. And when it runs out of fuel, basically the star collapses on itself, and that triggers an explosion, which propels the outer layers of the star into space. And what you get left with in the center is this dense core, which might be a neutron star or a black hole. And if somehow you get two of these neutron stars next to each other that collide, that is what produces a killernova.
Right.
So a killernova is actually typically fainter than a supernova, but it also produces strong gravitational waves because these neutron stars are so dense. When they collide, they produce these very strong gravity waves, and only one such killernova had been detected before. It was seen by LIGO, the Gravitational Wave Observatory, in 2017. Now, last year in August, when astronomers saw a similar signature, they were very excited because they thought they'd detected a second killernova. So they went to look at it with optical telescopes, and you can distinguish between a supernova and a killernova with visible light because they produce different chemical elements. From supernova, you expect to mostly see the lighter elements from the outer layers of the star, but from the killernova, you're releasing the heavier elements that were locked up in the core. So first of all, when they looked at it for the first few days, they saw these heavy element signatures that look like a killernova, but then it started to look more like a supernova. And so that's how this kind of super killernova thing starts to come up.
I reckon this sounds like a new record release, super killernova. Let's these waves, gravitational waves, for the rest of us, do we feel them on Earth? Do they have any impact here on Earth, or are they just something that you observe with this special telescope that can detect them?
Yeah, I mean, these gravitational waves are very, very small and very, very difficult to detect. So in fact, you know, these gravitational wave detectors are kilometers long, and they're detecting deflections that are on the scale of like the size of a proton. So they have absolutely no impact that we can perceive as humans.
Right, now let's talk about this other galaxy that seems to have two very different personalities. So when you hear a galaxy being described as behaving in opposite ways at once, that almost sounds like it's not possible. But what does that tell us about how messy the universe really is and how much of it we don't understand?
Yeah, so this is a problem that astronomers actually encounter quite often, which is that when you look at galaxies in different wavelengths of light, you see different parts of the galaxy or different physical processes that are happening. So in this particular case, it was observed with, in fact, two different cameras of the James Webb Telescope. One of the cameras sees light in the near infrared, and one of the cameras sees light in the mid-infrared. So basically like shorter wavelength and longer wavelength of light. And when they looked at it at the shorter wavelengths, it just looked like a normal galaxy forming stars at an average rate with a typical black hole. And when they looked at it at the longer wavelengths, it transformed into this beast with a very bright and rapidly growing black hole. And the reason for this basically is because it seems like the black hole is blocked by a lot of dust. And so the dust kind of absorbs all of the shorter wavelength of light and then re-releases it at the longer wavelengths.
Ah, so it's really got one personality, but we're looking at it differently, is that right? Through different lenses.
Yeah, essentially. It's basically, you know, if you put on different glasses, you see different aspects of the galaxy.
Now, Rebecca, if we look at these three things, like we've got this free-floating exoplanet, we've got a super kilonova. I've got to meet the person who named that. And then we've got the Jekyll and Hyde galaxy. For those of us who love these stories, but, you know, we're not astrophysicists. We don't follow space news every day. What do you reckon is the feeling we should take away from all this news from this week in space? How does it impact the rest of us?
Yeah, I mean, I think this goes to show that there's just so much out there that we don't understand. There's so much more to be discovered. And we really should be curious about everything that's going on around us and hungry to know more.
I love it. Hungry, like the super kilonova.
Yes.
Or the black holes. I love it. Rebecca, love finding out all this space news. It's so good that you bring it to us. Thank you so much for joining us and Happy New Year again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. That was Rebecca Davies with our regular space chat on Drive from Swinburne University of Technology.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.